Sometimes I wonder in our world if we forget what the preacher said in Ecclesiastes, that there is nothing new under the sun. That it is, if you will, as it has been. That the things that are today have been in place for a while. And there are things that it would do well for us to consider that the world will try to convince us that things are new. They're different. We need to think about them in a new way. That we need to apply a different understanding to these things. And so I want to talk to us today about what a lot of people probably view as a fairly modern sin. If you can call a sin modern. But it's gender confusion. You know, it seems like it's a fairly new thing on the planet Earth. But what would you say if I told you that I could show you that this has been in Satan's plan from the very beginning? That I could show you this is not new. This is the same old thing that Satan keeps bringing up time and time and time again. Putting a different spin on it, trying to convince people. So with that as a background, I'd like for us to go to Genesis chapter 1. Starting in verse 26. Genesis 1 and 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So here's the first reference we have to man and woman being created. And one of the first things that jumps out is there was an authority given. An authority over the animals, over the planet, if you will. Authority from God. So from the very beginning of time, God began putting things into an order. And he wanted this order for a reason. It was part of his plan. So now let's look a little closer here at the creation of man and woman. So move forward into Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start off in verse 7 and then drop down to verse 15. In verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." And then down in verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So if we look at this, we see basically man was formed by God, very intentionally. He was put in the Garden of Eden to keep it. Before Eve came around, man received his first set of instructions. There is this tree in the center of the garden, and you're not to eat of it. But then God also didn't want man to be alone, so he took all the animals and brought them before Adam. And he had Adam name them, because as Adam was naming them, God was looking to see if any of these animals could be a helpmeet for Adam. Nothing suitable was found, So God put Adam to sleep, took the rib out, made a woman. When Adam came to, he saw the woman, recognized where she was from. He named the woman, and then marriage was properly defined. The thing I want to speak to here is authority. So we have in the earlier chapter where there was an authority specifically given to man over the animals. And if you don't stop to think about things sometimes, the right to name the animals belongs generally to the owner, doesn't it? Who names your children? Who has the right to name anyone's children? Diane and I have never had children. Does that give me the right the next time somebody has a baby to say, it's my turn? I get to name your child. Most couples will probably look at me like I've lost my mind and tell me no, hopefully politely. But why is it? Because there's a God-ordained authority over that child a parent has. Man was allowed to name woman by God. We may not stop to think about that, but it does imply that there is a positional authority that God allowed. That God said, this is part of what I'm putting in place. So what is a helpmeet? So God was looking for a helpmeet, or a help suitable for. God was not looking for somebody that was equal to Adam that could replace Adam. Woman was not created to replace man, to be able to say, well, you can just swap man and woman out. That's not what God created. What he created was a help suitable for, something to, I'm going to use the word, complete Adam. The Lord looked at Adam and said, Adam, you're incomplete by yourself. You can't do it by yourself either. So I'm going to create a part for you that if you guys will come together, you will be complete. Everything needed to properly run a house, run a home, run a family will be there. I want us to consider something. Us men that's worked in a place of business. Let's say you're working on a piece of machinery, things are getting difficult, it's a complicated piece of machinery, and you go and you ask for help. And your boss sends you the newest guy on the team, the guy that just started 3 days ago. Is that a help suitable for your problem? I can tell you from experience, generally when that happens, you look, why did you even bother to send him? He's just going to look at the machine just like I'm looking right now. He won't have any more of a clue than I do. What are you looking for when you're looking for that suitable help? You're looking for someone that has experience like you do, has capabilities like you do, but has a different viewpoint from what you have. Somebody who can walk up to that machine and say, I know this is how you're looking at the problem, but have you thought about looking at it from this angle? Because suddenly when you walk around, oh, you're right. There's the problem. That's stuck. Let's get it unstuck and get it working. I'm sure you women, if you haven't worked out in the world, there's been times at your home that you've probably struggled with things and you get in a jam. And who do you call? Do you turn around to your 3-year-old daughter and say, come help mommy, I've got a real problem, I need you to help me figure it out? Or do you call your mother or a really good friend that you know has had experience in this situation? Why do you do that? Because you're looking for a help suitable to what you're facing. The reason why I say that is because when God was creating woman, he was looking ahead. And he said, these two need to be equal. They need to be able to share ideas, but I want them to also think and act differently so there can be different viewpoints so they can truly help each other. So that the man won't be just all caught up in his viewpoint and another man come up and say, yep, looks that way to me too. You know, you can get the woman to come up and say, well, I know it looks that way to the both of y'all, but have you thought about looking at it this way? Well, no, we haven't. And there's the problem. A man's proper place, according to this, is the leadership of the home. He's also supposed to provide for the home and keep the family home up. These are things that are, if you want to call it, specific to the man. There's also the role of women to nurture the household, to manage the home, to be equally knowledgeable with their spouse so that they can provide that alternative point of view on things. And also help the husband when he's making decisions regarding what the household is going to do, to help him as he exercises his leadership, provide that sounding board for him. One thing that I do want us to consider is, you know, there's some things in the home a man can never do. Even in our modern world today, a man cannot bear the children in the home. Can't do it. With all of our advances today, it won't happen. There's also reasons the male is the provider. Physiological reasons, biological reasons. One of the things that has always stuck out to me as a man is built to work, to labor, and to carry burdens. That is the way a man is built. In the U.S. Army, on the physical fitness test, you know, women can join the military. Do you know there's two standards for what constitutes physical fitness? When it comes to the minimum standards, for push-ups, a man has to be able to do 42 push-ups in a minute, at the minimum. A woman, only 19. For sit-ups now, they both are required to do 53. When it comes to a 2-mile run, men are required to do 15 minutes and 54 seconds. That is the slowest time they can do for a 2-mile run. A woman's allowed 18 minutes and 54 seconds. Why does the U.S. military call out these differences if we're all equal? The truth is, we're not. We are not biologically equal or replaceable. That was not God's design. If you were to think about this in terms of going into combat, if I was in combat and there was a woman riding along in our group and we were suddenly on foot having to run for our lives, if you will, if I can cover 2 miles in 15 minutes and 54 seconds, the minimum, and she can do it in 18:54, if we're both running as fast as we can go, at 18 minutes and 54 seconds, I'm going to be almost a half a mile further down the road than she is. Her survivability rating, if you want to call it that, wouldn't be that well because we're no longer staying together as a unit. Why? Because there's a difference. And while we're allowing the physiological differences in our testing to say, well, women just can't run that fast, in a real application on a battlefield, you want them to run just as fast. Now, I will say in some of the newer tests, for combat units, they have not made a distinction between the man and woman because that is a reality. You have to be just as fast because the troops need to be able to stay together. Now, I want us to consider one thing, though. This does not mean that a woman cannot work, be productive outside her home, just as long as her home is her priority. How many of y'all have read Proverbs 31? About the virtuous woman. Did she just work in her home? Did she just raise children? No. So the folks of the world today that would like to tell you that if you're planning on being a traditional mother, somehow you're promoting male chauvinism, things like that. What's another term they're using today? Toxic masculinity. They're totally passing over the point that, no, you're fulfilling a very vital role. Who else can have the children, raise them, nurture them, but the woman? Even in our modern world, that is the reality we have today. So now let's go look at how sin got into the garden. Chapter 3, there in Genesis, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, you may be wondering, where is the gender confusion in this story? But it's right here, if we take the time to look for it. First of all, who was the authority of the pair? Should have been Adam, correct? Satan bypassed Adam. Who did he go to? He went to Eve. And he started making arguments to Eve. Eve said, we're not supposed to eat of that. It's going to cause us to die. She went as far as adding what I'm going to call a protection order. You hear them a lot of times in our church where there's something we teach and we say it's not necessarily in the Bible, but this is considered to be a guardrail to keep you from getting too close to the sin. If you touch it, you'll die. She even mentioned that. Satan, yeah, but he had his argument. So Eve heard the argument, and instead of doing what would have been proper for her place, which would have been, okay, let me go get with Adam. You're making maybe a good argument, but I really need to go check in with Adam. He's the one that taught me the rule that God gave him. Let me go check with Adam. She didn't do that. She didn't go seek his leadership or affirmation of what was going on regarding the teaching. Then we get to Adam. She brought the fruit to Adam. Adam abdicated his duty right there as leader. He should have been saying, hold on, time out. This is wrong. You know it's wrong. I've told you it's wrong. The Lord told me it's wrong. We need to stop what's going on right now. I know you said you maybe ate a bite already, but just put the fruit down. Let's go get the Lord so we can get straightened out here. Adam didn't do it. He went along with what Eve was wanting him to do. Because of that, Adam didn't recognize his true leader, who was God. God who had said the rule in the first place. If you look at this, this is an example of what they refer to in the world today as gender role reversal. The woman took the lead, the man backed up, and the world would have you to believe that if that happens, everything goes just fine. Everything will be all right. That the women and men are interchangeable, replaceable. You can just swap them out. There's no differences. We can just all be one big happy family. It doesn't matter who's in charge. Folks, that is not what the good Lord put in place. He put in place a very clear set of the way he designed things. He did not design things so that the man could lord over the wife. That was not in his design. How many of you all men working in your environments, if you need help from a coworker who is equally knowledgeable as you, will get help from him if you just decide you're going to lord it over him? Because if you get to being too uppity with your coworkers, after a while they're just going to back off and say, I tell you what, since you're so smart, once you get it fixed, let me know. And let me know how that works out for you. It was not God's design to do that. I heard somebody talking about the curse. You know, there's curses that came along with this. And one of them was that a woman's desire would be to her husband and that her husband would rule over her. And in doing some reading on that, one of the commentators mentioned that the word desire there doesn't necessarily just mean to have feelings for. But it comes from a root word talking about water that overflows. And they said it could also be read that a woman will desire to control her husband, but the husband will rule over her instead. And this gentleman was talking about the curse, and you see it in our world today, where he saw this curse as being that woman will try to raise up and the man will be the brute, will not be a kind, loving husband. Because this is the curse of the woman raising up. This is what happens in our world today. Is it any wonder today that our world is so bent on trying to destroy the roles of gender in our society? The devil tried to start it from the very beginning. He tried to say, this is, you don't need to listen. You're just as good. You can do things. You know, logic and arguments of the world sometimes will make sense. One thing that stood out to me is the condition of eating of the fruit was you were going to die. Satan told them they wouldn't die. But he never said why. He never said you won't die because the fruit's not poisonous. He never said you won't die. He totally skipped that. And his logic went straight to what I'm going to call the benefits. You know, if you eat this fruit, you're going to have knowledge. You're going to be like God. Things are going to be better. You know, we can look around and the world will say that women are better at X than men. Do you know that's probably true? There's a lot of things women are better at than men. That's part of why they were a help meet or a help suitable for completing the man. I know my dad mentioned it at the services for mom, and I actually remember the night. Because as a kid, I think it was Charles that had actually spilt the milk. But Charles spilt his milk. It went across the table. Dad's jumping up and they're, you know, trying to mop it up. And Dad was getting ready to get upset. I remember Mom shaking her finger at Dad. Shh. And Dad sat down. And the way I remember is he sat down and literally reached for something on the table and knocked his milk over too. Mom was helping him. She wasn't exercising authority over him irresponsibly. She was trying to help him as the leader of the home. It was one of the terms I've read is co-regent or co-ruler, but it takes both of them to rule properly. You know, we can get blinded by the benefits of sin to the point we can no longer see the problem with it. To the point that we don't even see the Lord's commands as reasonable. Adam and Eve looked at the fruit. It looks good. It looks healthy. Satan said, we're not going to die. He didn't ever say why. And so if it's not going to kill us, and that's the only reason why God told us not to eat of this fruit, I don't understand why God's restricting it from us. I think I'm going to take a bite. And just like that, they logicked themselves, allowed themselves to be talked into doing something that was absolutely the worst thing they could have ever done. We need to watch out that we don't allow ourselves to be caught up by the trends of the world. The world loves nothing better than to tell you something's new. We have more knowledge than we did in the past. And because we have more knowledge, you need to think differently. I read a phrase one time. It made mention of, actually it was a book I was reading. And it said, it's often, the church is often not far behind the world. The world will start off promoting something and may actually be unsuccessful at it, but sometimes the church still, within 40 or 50 years, we'll be adopting it. And you know that that's going on in our world today. There are churches that are openly promoting alternative lifestyles as being valid ways to serve God. They're saying that things that's been taught for years have to be looked at in a new light. They have to be looked at in a new way. That we've misunderstood them. Just like the devil told Eve, you've misunderstood this. You won't die when you eat that fruit. There are some things that are good for you. We need to be careful that we don't look past the fault of the fruit and partake of it. That we don't let Satan say, hey, here's some benefits. Here's the reason why this is okay. It is something I feel like the devil is simply going to use more and more in our society to drive people away from God. And he's going to try to do it, potentially, by attacking the very beliefs in the church. We need to be on our guard. Y'all pray for me.